the Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Hey, Benny.
Yes.
Back 2020, season 3.
Yeah. Have you learnt much?
Version 3.0, have I learnt much? I've learnt that blondes have more fun. Oh. What have you learnt?
I have learnt that you have learnt that blondes have more fun.
We're both sort of...
very blonde.
Different. Yeah, we're sort of going a couple of different styles, you and me, with our hair. You know, usually got a pretty luscious sort of...
luscious type setup. Yeah,
and you've shaved the noggin.
Yeah, this is quite lengthy for the shave. I'm going to continue it as well.
What number do you take it back to?
Two.
A two, that is short.
I started with a two all over, and then because I live in quite a trendy area, well, actually, it's trendy down the road.
Yeah.
I had to get a fade the second time. So it was a two into a fade, which is quite short.
Yeah. That is short.
It shows everything. Yeah. So you just sort of.
Warts and all.
Warts and all, yeah. Literally, I've got one wart just in the back here.
We are coming to you live from the Preston studio. You just mentioned.
You can hear sirens in the background.
Yeah. And you just mentioned the trendy area. But I do have to comment on the status of the studio.
It's taken you a while because we've been here a while and you haven't brought this up yet.
It was a lounge room when I was last here, and it's now a pretty bare sort of. I mean, it's more podcast central, which is great, but there's no couches, there's no TV. It sort of replicates that room on The Simpsons when the front of Lenny's house falls down and he says, "Please don't tell anybody how I live." It's pretty bare in here, but it seems very podcast central. But I'm worried about the fact that the room sort of all points towards what can only be described as an early 90s. Like, it's not, I think it's just two speakers. I don't think it's even plugged in there.
They're not connected. I can vouch for that.
Do you just sit around and watch the speakers?
To be frank, and you put me on the spot here, but we don't do much in this room, actually.
No, I couldn't have guessed.
There's a lot of books. But, not to get into it, but we have a room vacant. Actually, maybe I could do this through the podcast instead of through...
Oh, try and advertise for a new roommate.
Barry Flossen, yeah. Who's looking... Anyone looking for a room in Preston, hit up the Magoos, and then I will then stalk you and see if I would give you any more information.
You have to accept the fact a podcast will be recorded in what is formerly the lounge room.
Yeah, which there'll be no lounge room if you move into the other room, which is currently the lounge room. So you have to be comfortable with a room that is also your own lounge room, and you can't open the doors between 8 and 9:30 on a Tuesday night, typically, subject to change. But,
I say inquire within. Carlton had a good win on the weekend.
Your boys or the women's?
The women's team, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They had a good win, which was nice. Get on the board. Taylor Harris was no longer useless.
Oh, okay. According to the media.
Well, it was a player that said it, of course.
Yeah, but it's blown up a lot too.
Blew up a lot, but...
She just said that she was useless below the knees.
Oh, she sort of said that if you can stop her in the air, then she's useless.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that was exactly what she said.
Yeah. I don't mind that, though. I mean, I think we need to start creating some narratives around it and some get a bit of banter going.
I think that... Here we go.
Yeah. This is what we're here for, Jay.
I think that the you need to be open to the levels of criticism. You need to be able to parallel those levels of media involvement in AFLW to help it reach... like when Mark Robinson wrote the article about Katie Brennan, for instance, was mediumly critical as far as Robbo goes of her start to the season. She obviously joined a new club, was always one of the big names in AFLW. But then there's heaps of backlash online about the fact that, we shouldn't be talking about AFLW and that they're not full-time professional athletes, all those sorts of things. I think that the competition, and I think it probably would for the most part, it's probably just commentators on the outside that aren't, but I think that if people want this competition to continue to grow, and it is, they need to ensure that to be spoken about in the media is how it grows, how the competition can continue to dominate headlines. That's why it's not played concurrently with the AFL season.
Yeah.
So it can have its headlines as it continues to build. And eventually it'll just become, it'll run parallel, intertwining with curtain raisers and stuff. But until then, they should be welcoming all the media they can they can get, I think. And I think that, if you want to criticise, if you want to say that it shouldn't get, that it shouldn't meet the same level of critique, well, it doesn't. But when it does, you shouldn't. I don't think we should be hiding away from the fact that any publicity is good publicity for something that is emerging in the public eye.
That's a very good take. And we weren't even, didn't even write that down.
I thought you were going to say we weren't even recording.
That'd be a shame. According to this, we are. That's a really good take. And that's an honest opinion. I love the time of the year that it's on because, you know, your BBL and everything is over now. So we do like that hype around footy coming back. It's also, I think it's great that this leads into that. I reckon that's a really well done how they're doing that. But you're right. Yeah, I'll pick up the paper and I'll read the articles and go, oh, cool. I didn't know who that person was or what happened there.
I think too, in terms of what could possibly be viewed as the older brigade of AFLW. I know it's only season three.
Not too sure.
I think it's season three.
It's also season three for the Magoos.
Ah, look out! Look at us
early Maguminati for you.
Mm. Yep. So that one's come back, is it? I think that. I've lost my place, which is a bit of a shame because I was on a bit of a heater. Could be the blonde hair again. No, is that the older brigade of AFLW players? I think that now that the girls that are coming into the competition that are aged 18, 19, they've been playing footy in elite programs for a lot longer. They've been in those junior development pathways that, you know, perhaps your Katie Brennan's of the world and Darcy Vecchio's and those sort of players didn't have when they were younger. And so these girls have been through all your Northern Knights and all that sort of stuff, and they come in and they're, you know, they are the next generation already.
Yeah.
So I think that in terms of what we saw from, you know, your Vecchios and I think Taylor Harris is a little bit different, but some of those players, even your Katie Brennan's of the world, like even Daisy Pierce to a certain extent, like this next generation is going to be better and they're going to be upon this competition, they're going to take it by storm. And I think they already have. Sort of only really have a vested interest in the Carlton matches and watching Maddie Presparkis play. Like, she was the number one draft pick, I think, last year. And she's just a level above.
Yeah.
And it's better than we've ever seen before. And I think that's going to continue to happen. Yeah. And that's what will accelerate this competition.
Yeah. Spot on. I don't have anything to add to that. I think that's great. The thing I love the most about the league is that it brings back, at least to me, the feeling of that sort of 1980s, 70s football of playing at local
the ground. Suburban feel, yeah.
Yeah, like picnics, like taking like the family out there, you know, BYO, I don't know if it's BYO or anything like that, but like, you know, certain things you get away with. And that's what the AFL has been lacking for a long time, because as successful as it is, it's not necessarily a good thing that you're at the MCG when you're only having 15 to 20,000 when you could pack out Icon Park. I think it would be beautiful.
I reckon that even seeing in the March series games for the AFL, I think that they almost have to look at going back to that community feel. Yeah. I think that, you know, I reckon that fans would relish that. I mean, you saw how many people were at Moorabbin to watch St Kilda play in a practice game the other night versus Hawthorn. Yeah. I think that people would relish that opportunity to go and, I mean, Princess Park is a perfect example. Like, it can hold 10,000, I think, maybe, like, I'd rather see Carlton play the Gold Coast there than have 16,000 at Etihad. Like, you'd rather pack a joint, get that old-time real connection back. Yeah, like, wow. and have that feel about the games, because, you know, you're always talking about fan engagement stuff. We don't need, you know, dodgy big screen activations if it's like you're watching suburban footy. But I remember I went to, you know, they stopped playing at Princess Park, which was, I think, pretty much the last suburban sort of ground, I guess, apart from Geelong, if you know, before they built all that up, whatever. And that was, I think, 2004. So I was still in primary school then. And then about 4 years later, I went up when Metricon was Carrara and Carlton played North Melbourne up there in a season game. And we were standing on the fence. And, like, I'd even at when it was Optus Oval, like, I don't remember ever standing, we're always sitting, but yeah. it's like watching local footy, but it's the AFL.
Yeah.
It's just completely different feel.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I think that's definitely something that, I think crowds are wanting yeah. now. And I think that showing, you know, there's always games overlapping and there's good time slots and bad time slots. I think that that's how you can bring people back and actually get, and even if it's the same 15,000 people that are going to be at Etihad on a Sunday afternoon or a 4:30 Saturday game,
yeah.
take them to a community ground, not a community ground necessarily, but a ground where it gives you a better atmosphere. And it's not about the money and clubs can sort of control their operations a little bit more, because that's why they're doing these grounds up. You know, there was 8,000 people at Moorabbin, whatever there was, and they sold out a beer by quarter time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that, that that feel is what people want. They yeah. want that connection and they want every opportunity they can get. And maybe through AFLW, the clubs and, yeah. and the AFL might be learning that.
I hope so. I hope so. We actually played you boys at Essendon Carlton last year in, was it Marsh Day? Was it called Marsh or JLT?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Whatever it was called last year at Icon. On a either, I think it was Thursday night or Friday. I think it was a Thursday night. And that was awesome. Like, just watching them, even though everyone was not up to scratch, we ended up watching only like three quarters and just shooting the shit with your mates, drinking beers. Same thing happened that they ran out of beers, I think, half time or three quarter time. But it was just that, like, there was...
Is that why you left?
No, we didn't leave. No, we didn't leave. Like, I just mean, like, you weren't watching yeah. the... Like, I mean, you meant you are there to watch, but at the same time...
Has that relaxed feel.
Has that relaxed feel. You're talking to your mates the whole time, and then there happens to be this professional football game going on at the same time. There's something about that where it's, you're right about that engagement and bringing it back and...
It's the feeling you get when you're leaving and when you're arriving at the grounds and stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's that old school sort of intrinsic yeah. stuff that you can't really put your finger on, but it's something that you know that is that real valuable experience.
Yeah. Plus, we're lacking human connection these days as well. So, like, you're sitting in the bleachers at the G, which I love, by the way. Like, still love those the solid Anzac days and all that kind of stuff. But as you're saying, you know, Gold Coast, Carlton, you'd rather 10 to 15,000, whatever it is that Icon. And it'd be just a sea of navy blue, and it would be
getting done by five goals.
And getting done by five goals to Gold Coast. But like, from it's interesting because a lot of like your English soccer clubs and stuff like that, they have that camaraderie at their games, because if you're playing at Liverpool, it's a sea of red, and like they might have a small section for the away. But being AFL in Victoria, you go to an MCG game and it's Carlton. Whoever, North Melbourne, it's not necessarily a home game to Carlton if more North fans are there. But those sort of things, it's just like there's that.
Especially in that Premier League sort of vein, like they've packed those stadiums because they're not that big.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, if you move away from the big four, big five clubs, like you go down a tier, you know, like there's still these stadiums are only holding up to 10,000 people and they're packing them out because. That's what they do. Yeah. They're turning up and they only need to get as many as they can hold sort of thing. Whereas you're not trying to field 50,000 every week, and if it's only 25, you're saying, oh, what a poor crowd.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a poor crowd. The stadium's too big.
Yeah.
So that's where you're losing your...
And how successful is the EPL? Obviously, it's the world sport.
Mm.
But NBA, same thing. They only hold 20, 25,000 in the stadium. And we're talking about like the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, but they sell out the whole entire season.
Yeah.
Like, I think
bring tickets are the premium.
Obviously, yeah. It's like chalk and cheese. It's like, you know, apples and oranges, because you've got the TV rights as well and that sort of thing. You're making the money, so you don't need the big stadiums. Where Australia is obviously a small population, so to play devil's advocate, we need those ticket sales because obviously they're not making it as much in, you know, like China. They're trying to expand into China, but obviously that's failing miserably because they don't really care about the sport that much.
Yeah.
But I reckon if Gil was, you know, fair dinkum about expanding into China, they should start selling some AFL face masks potentially. What do you think?
Well, branding.
Yeah.
You just got to get the brand out there, don't you? Okay, Benny, we've got a big, big guest lined up in just a few moments' time here on the first episode of The Magoos for 2020. But as it is the first episode of The Magoos, you know, you and I, we're no strangers to looking into our crystal ball, and we're not going to do the full season preview yet. There's still plenty of time for all that. We're going to need to fill some content later on in...
Don't use it all up.
Just before round one kicks off. But so what we decided amongst ourselves is that we're going to have a big call for 2020. And in the lead up to the season, we're going to be asking anyone we get to come on the show and all our producers and all the staff that seems to wander in and out of this here humble little studio. All our contributors will talk to Rudy, we'll talk to Tom Beers, all those sort of people. We'll get them involved. We'll get the big call from 2020. But what we want to do is get ours on record. First up, we'll set the scene. So do you have a big call for 2020 or do you want to go to me first?
I think my call is so big we might go to you first.
Wow, he's going to knock the socks off the people, is he? Okay, well, my big call is that Port Adelaide will finish top two.
Okay. It's a big call.
Mm, did they miss the eight last year?
Yeah, so. Missed the eight, but the at eight. Their best, very good.
I think that they might just bring it all together.
Okay, yeah. Is there any reasoning behind that or no? We're not going reasoning.
We don't I just think reasoning, that, I mean, we? As you said, their best is very good. And I think that over there, if they can bring it all together, I think it's a real crossroads year for them.
Okay.
I think in terms of maybe old mate Kenny's career, a few players might Ken. Be... Might be like your Ollie Wineses of the world, you know, teetering on the edge of hanging around or leaving. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And I think they might have just got it all together. Their forward line, if fully fit, if they can keep your Charlie Dixons of the world fit, then I think that they're going to be a very, very powerful force to be reckoned with, pardon the pun. And, I mean, some of those young kids they've got, Xavier Dersma, Connor Rosie, I think that whilst, you know, the dreaded second year Blues might be hanging around, I reckon that they're definitely going to go to another level this year.
Okay. I don't mind it. A big call, yes, because they missed the eight, but I won't be surprised if they can get it together.
Top two is hard to finish.
Top two, yeah. My call is not as big in terms of
GWS.
What about it? Yeah.
No, I'm just naming teams
that are good.
That are good. Yeah, Carlton.
Okay. We've got to be here a while. It's pretty good.
Even comp.
It's a pretty good league these days. Yeah. I'm going to go with not necessarily a top two, but top eight, Gold Coast Suns.
Wow. Yeah. Gold Coast Suns for the top
What's
eight.
What's the day today? February 24 as we're recording this.
As we record this.
February 24, Gold Coast Suns to make the top eight in 2020. And that's all I have to say about that. I don't have this sort of spiel that you gave off the back.
Tell me what. You asked me what.
I just wanted to hear it from you. Now that you asked me, I should have thought that you'd ask this question back and didn't really go that far. I think they showed a lot of really good signs last year. And I think they are starting...
Didn't they lose their last 18 games? 19 games?
19.
I think they lost. Yeah, they lost all that in a row.
Wasn't that many. Anyway. Ooh. Oh, do you know what? I watched one game and it was obviously against Essendon. And they nearly... We nabbed them at the post, but they looked good. I reckon...
So you're tying your wagon to the Gold Coast Suns for season 2020?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You asked for a big call, not a medium call?
Yeah, I did ask for a big call. So, look, great.
I'm regretting it as we continue this chat because I'm thinking about how many good teams there really are.
Yeah, and how poor they were last year. They will be better, I think. They probably couldn't be any worse. But they have added a couple of pretty decent players, so...
Yeah.
Look, best of luck with your big call, Ben. I don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with mine. That's the whole point of this show.
Yeah.
As I said, we'll continue to get big calls from all those who wander through these studios. And we'll have to ask our next guest, won't we? As we delve deeper into the psyche of the Big V and the state of origin.
I'm excited about this chat. I'm really excited. I think he's going to bring a good dynamic to this interview. I think he's just an old-fashioned top bloke, as they would say.
Built for the Magoos, I reckon.
Built for the Magoos, absolutely. You know what we could do?
Hello, and thank you for calling. Obviously, I can't get the phone at the moment, but if you'd like to leave your name and number, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And remember, smile, it costs nothing, and it goes a long way. Oh,
that, if that's not the greatest little catchphrase... Because it started off very aggressive. Obviously not here. It's like, whoa. That would suggest so. Yeah, remember, smile. Because that's what teeth are for. This is something we could do, actually. It's like, record whether or not I should ask this question that I wanted to ask him. Found a bit of discrepancy in some vital information when I was doing some research.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia says that he played 291 AFL senior games.
Yeah.
But his own personal bio in Instagram said he's a former 300-game AFL player. Can I ask him who's correct?
I feel like it's probably counting things like State of Origin.
Yeah.
Which is why we're talking to him.
Yeah.
Was it a handwritten bio? Like, it seemed like he wrote it.
Handwritten, yeah. Yeah. Or handwrite a lot of things, and most of it's not true.
6'7" Whilst, as we've spoken about, the AFLW is in full swing, the AFL season is...
Well, you better say AFLM.
No, it wasn't.
Because
no,
there
wasn't,
was a bit of whispers not... going around that the AFL should rebrand to AFLM.
I don't think that'll be happening. But so we're starting to see that sort of stuff kick off. As we spoke about, the Marsh series is underway. Clubs are playing intra-club practice matches, you know, doing all sorts of match sim sort of stuff. And this Friday night, we have the bushfire relief game. They're bringing back the so-called State of Origin, the Big V, which is notorious with State of Origin, versus the All-Stars, which is just a mixture of those.
Everyone else.
Everyone else, yeah. So it's not really State of Origin in that traditional sense. It is for us Victorians because we run and prop up the league. So we get whatever we want. So obviously the bushfire season over the over sort of the Christmas New Year's break here in Australia was fairly devastating, and we've seen a whole lot of incredible fundraising efforts. We saw the bushfire relief concert up in Sydney a couple of weekends ago, which was incredible. And this game has just brought together the biggest names in the AFL playing for a very, very good cause. So it's fantastic to see. Benny, from Essendon's point of view, you've always got your Essendon goggles on. Mm-hmm. Who have your boys got running around in this one?
Well, no need for plural. We've just got a singular, Adam Sarr.
Okay.
And that's, frankly, you might, you know, look at me.
I don't want to talk.
You might look at me and be like, cute, but I am very happy to say we only have one person in there on Feb 28 this early in the season. That means that is a lot of other players who will not potentially get injured.
See, this is where I come unstuck a little bit with the State of Origin argument, right? Because everybody's always saying we have to have State of Origin. Every time we watch the rugby league's version in the depths of winter, awesome. Everyone's going, this is great, the AFL's...
I don't watch NRL, whatever. And I watch that.
Yeah, yeah. This, that, the other, it's all grouse. You know, the AFL has it. And then as soon as they name the squads, like, I mean, obviously follow all the Carlton pages on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Everyone's going, oh, you know, there's no way we should be letting Cripps play in this, whatever. But we want State of Origin, but we don't want our best players playing in it.
Yeah.
Well, then I saw someone say we should nominate some of our young VFL players to play so they get big game experience. Like, well, I mean, this, well, I mean,
I
we are dealing with
when you follow there, multiple Carlton pages, you become a bit of enough.
Well, but
in fact, I actually joined a page on Facebook recently, a private group called Guardians of the Red Sash, and I am loving every minute of it, mate.
Guardians of the Red Sash.
It is beautiful. I'm starting to post in it too. I want to get my notoriety up in that page.
Guardians of the Red Sash. You should hold a round table of the Guardians for this podcast one night.
I would love to, but you won't let me.
I will sit here. If you can get two other Guardians of the Red Sash...
Yeah.
We can have an Essendon discussion that I will chair.
Yeah.
And I'll just let you guys go.
These guys. It's beautiful. I'm like, are they serious right now? Who knows?
As we said, we've got a huge guest on the show. We're talking all things State of Origin. And that means we could only go to one man. One man who donned the Big V himself. Far greater experience than you or I could ever, ever boast.
Absolutely.
And that is the one and only Spider Everett, who joins us on the Magoos this week. The first show of 2020. Spider, welcome.
Great to be along. Love to be in the Magoos. But, State of Origin finally back in the AFL, which is going to be awesome.
So talk to us about playing with the Big V. It's something that, from your era of football, everyone talks about it with such fondness, but yet it hasn't really gelled with the modern day footballer. How important is the Big V to, where does it stack up with your career?
Oh, look, I rate it really highly, and it's disappointing and to see it, you know, not around year in, year out, and you can see why, which is unfortunate. But, you know, South Australia versus Victoria was, you know, the biggest AFL rivalry, I suppose, that we loved. But, you know, to be able to, even though, you know, when I was playing, you're playing along the side, you know, blokes like Wimmer, Burke, Lowy, Harvey, and yeah, it was a privilege to do so. You know, when you're so young and playing, but then when you represent a Victoria, you know, you're going in with, you know, Buddha Hocking and Silvani and Ablett, and it just there's something about it that just gives you a great sense of pride of being able to run alongside some of the greats of all time of the game.
So back in those days, I think we see now, like, some players and especially clubs are quite wary of letting their main players play in these sort of games. Was there that sort of reservation with the clubs back in those days?
It was slowly creeping in. So players like, you know, your Plugger, you know, Ablett and these midfielders, these blokes were starting to, you know, pull out at the last minute, so they'll play, pull out because... You know, those days, you know, the money started to grow a lot bigger too. So they're saying, we don't want to risk all our, you know, the money, even though the clubs say, look, yeah, go and play, but there's still that underlying factor that if you get injured and you miss games, that it's never going to be looked upon that great. So I think that's the hardest thing when you try and compare even, you know, AFL to NRL, which is, you know, it's their pride, that's their biggest thing. If you make you know, state of origin in our NRL, you've made it, where it didn't have that sense in, you know, AFL.
Yeah, and this time around, it's obviously for a huge cause, the bushfire relief, which has really united Australia, and that's why they've brought this concept back. I noticed that the players, they're only going into pretty much a one-day camp. I think they're only coming together a day before, maybe the day of the game. Back in your day when you were playing State of Origin stuff, was there a huge build-up like the NRL has now in terms of going into camps and spending a lot of time with your teammates?
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of, you know, there was a couple of training sessions and photo opportunities. So, yeah, there was. And that was the great thing about it, the whole week leading into it and, you know, them flying over together, doing all the press and then getting up. And, you know, for us to see different people prepare in different ways, and that's the great thing about it, is it was a game at 100%. So, yeah, you didn't have, you know, and no one was going at 60% or 70%. It was a full-on game. It was proper. You had packed-out stadiums. You had people that absolutely love Victoria or hate them, and that was the fun of it. That was the passion about, you know, playing the State of Origin. So, yeah, it was about the whole build-up where, you know, even I think, you know, I know it's for the bushfires, but you would have liked to have a, you know, 1 or 2 day camp leading in. It would have been just to get that feeling back in and get some of the greats amongst the game to talk about what it means would have been awesome.
Absolutely, Spy. I love it. You've mentioned, obviously, you know, you guys went in at 100%. There are you know, a few fears that being early February, or actually late February, but still before the season. Do you fear that, you know, coming around this time at all, that players may take it that little bit easy, or?
I think most of them will use it as their big hit out, because most of them, all we're looking forward to this time of year is playing games. You've done all the pre-season before Christmas, you've got yourself cherry ripe in January and February, it's all about games and then recovering games. So, no, I reckon most blokes will be having a fair dinkum crack. It'll be interesting when you've got to tackle somebody from your own team. So those little scenarios will come in, but I think you can't afford to go any less either, because that's when injuries happen. So I think most blokes will be having a fair dinkum crack.
Yeah, I don't think Essendon's going to have that problem with Adam Saad having to tackle lightly against one of his teammates. But, yeah, I mean, going off into more, you know, a little bit more, well, I wouldn't say personal, but, you know, in not footy as such related, you know, you obviously had different hairdos growing up, you know, different seasons, you like to change it up a lot. Even Jake here, he's gone the blonde do at the moment. You see the likes of, you know, your Justin Biebers and stuff getting those blonde locks in there now. Do you feel
that you might be owed a little bit of, you know, a bit of homage to that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you look no, you look at some of the do's and, yeah, no, there was some outlier ones and then there were some that weren't too bad, but I don't know. It was just something that I continued to do and now I've got none left, so I've just shaved it at number two to keep it nice and keep it even. But, I'll look back at, the photos and even, taking my daughter to her first day of schooling, you got blue hair, and then you take your second daughter to schooling, you got white dreadlocks, and look, it was entertaining, and you brought out the headband, so I think it was that kind of the fun era of the 90s, and even tattoos, and then slowly now it's unusual not for a player not to have one. That's for the AFL women's and also the men's. So yeah, it was all that I suppose just starting to put a little bit of self-pressure on yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you speak about, like, that was a thing of the 90s and that sort of thing, but there was one exception to the rule. Did it spook you out a little bit that your own teammate, Harvey, who you spoke about earlier, literally had the exact same hair his whole entire career?
It was unbelievable. Oh. Like even for 21 years, he just did not change his hairstyle once. And it was just exactly the same. I think it might have been Danny Frawley when he rocked up a training one day with just this box on his head and pretending he was Robert Harvey, because that's what it looked like. Since he got a cut, it just looked like this black box on his head. So he kept it the whole time, but he could he never changed it, but he could play footy. That was the main thing. So
it was a Lego character, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's it, the Lego head.
So looking back over your AFL career, Spider, obviously playing for three different clubs, how did you obviously change clubs twice on the way. How did those two experiences of moving clubs after spending 10 years at the Saints and then only a couple of years at the Hawks, how did those two experiences of moving on vary for you?
It was always tough because, you would have loved originally to be a one-team player and, I would have loved to stay at St Kilda for, my whole career, like, a few of the other boys were fortunate enough to do. But, unfortunately, Grant Thomas and, myself didn't see eye to eye, and the perception out there of myself, which I thought was wrong. So, I had to go to Hawthorn mainly to change that perception and try and play some good footy and, show people that I can actually play footy and I'm not this, dickhead just running around. So I thought I was able to do that when I went to Hawthorn, and then from Hawthorn to Sydney, it wasn't about that perception or anything. It was more about trying to play finals and win finals and get into a grand final before, I retired. And I tried to get there in 06 when Sydney ended up playing in a grand final, but Hawthorn wouldn't do the deal, so I ended up going there in 07. So they're both for different reasons, but at the same time, it's, most footy clubs are pretty similar. The boys, boys are boys. They have fun. They welcome you into the change rooms. And if you're not a dickhead and you do all the right things and stick by their policies, you normally travel okay.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. And so in your opinion, obviously, one of best and fairest at Hawthorn, and have a whole range of accolades behind you. When do you reckon you were playing your best footy?
It was probably a couple of years. Look, 97, 98, I thought were pretty good consistent years. Rucking started to change. You had Corey McKernan and Jeff White and, Sean Ran in Adelaide. So I thought that era of football was good. Instead of going, dropping behind the play, we started running, kicking goals. You're playing 100% of game time. So if you weren't in the ruck, you're full forward or forward pocket. So I think probably that 97, 98, when we had a good team, was probably my best couple of years. And as you say, even though winning a best and fairest at Hawthorn, I thought being up there in the best and fairest at St Kilda during years when you played finals, and look, we were never going to win a best and fairest at St Kilda when Robert Harvey's there anyway. So normally, if you come second in the best and fairest, we claim that as a win because we just give it away to Harv. So it was, so probably the late 90s was probably more, I thought was probably the better footy we played, the better brand.
Awesome, awesome. So obviously you went up to Sydney. Now these days, obviously the media is getting more and more access, and that has put off a few players currently, and a lot of them do like to go to a non-Victorian club to get away from that. Was there any of that when you went to Sydney, or like, did you notice that, or was it pretty much the same wherever you went at that time?
It's amazing. Like when you leave Melbourne and you move up to Sydney, it's a totally different market, and it'd be great to see some people actually go up there and realise what they're talking about when you've got all the other codes in Sydney. But I remember one day I walked into training with Barry Hall, and there's a cricket game on at the SCG, so it was over pre-season, and there would have been 1,000 kids all sitting in lines outside the SCG about to go and watch the cricket. And we walked through 1,000 kids and not one of them said anything. And you thought, if that was in Melbourne, there would have been somebody who followed, myself or Barry Hall or Sydney Swans or, Richmond, whoever it was. Just not one child knew anything. And it was like, well, that's a good wake-up call of where they're at, because, it was amazing. I found that probably the most surprising thing when I first got to Sydney.
Even though you were just a 203-centimetre blue hair at the time, they still
didn't know. Yeah, had all the hairdos, and Hawley's got all the tattoos, and he stands out as well. He's 6'5", 6'6". So, it was funny. It was an interesting day, but that was Sydney. It is a very, very tough market, but at the same time, I've known coaches from the NRL to say, they want to be the Sydney Swans of the NRL because they know how Sydney Swans have been able to run and be so consistently in the finals over the last, decade that, there's still an envy of a lot of other clubs on how they position themselves and run in New South Wales.
So a little bit further north nowadays, how do you continue to keep up with the AFL? You're still interested in it? Do you still have that passion for footy?
I work up on the Gold Coast doing Bricky Radio, so that's the Gold Coast Suns are there. You've got the women's team that's been there this year as well. And even though it's been a tough ride for the Suns, you can see the improvement. Well, you see parts of improving under Stuart Dew. So I still stay in touch with it. Go out to a lot of their media days and stay involved with the Suns in that way as an ambassador, and we're out and watched the two girls' home games over the last 2 weeks. So we do little bits and pieces, and the Gold Coast is like a big country town, so they're kind of our local club that we all stick behind. And my young fella's still involved with the Saints with the father and son rule. They've got a really good program there, so he's involved there. So we do our little bits and pieces. You always got to kind of follow a game that I'm still passionate about and I still love.
Yeah, I think the reason Jake has actually asked you that as well is because I'd like to just extend on that. And would you chuck the boots back on, and in particular for the Bombers at all this year?
No. I tell you, I can look.
We need a ruck.
I played a game, and I don't know how Fev does it. Like, Fev plays 50 games a year. And I think he's just retired, but I played a game about 18 months ago, and I said I was never, ever, ever, ever going to play a game again. I played down in Penguin, down in Tasmania, and it was the middle of winter, and it was freezing. And, there were two big rivalry clubs, Ulverston and Penguin, and they had massive fights in the twos, and I'm sitting there ready for the ones. And there was a massive all-in brawl about 3 minutes into the first quarter, and there was 35 guys in it, and the only two people outside of that was myself and the umpire going, we're not going in there. We're staying out here. So I knew. And we got beaten on the siren too because I didn't get far enough down to take a ruck contest. So I said, I'm out.
Kicking Harper on the play.
Yeah. So the Bombers will have to just slowly just keep plugging away.
Yeah, we have been for quite a while now, but yeah. Just keep plugging away. You did mention earlier about being an ambassador, some ambassador work. In my thorough research, I did see that you are an ambassador of the Isuzu Ute. We actually had a fan question come in saying, what's a fun fact about Isuzu Utes? Because their father-in-law has one, and I want him to like me.
Oh, funny. a fun fact about it, they can go anywhere, I know that. we've taken them most places and nearly everywhere around Australia, but what's a fun fact about the Isuzu? I can tell you a story about an opposition car.
Yeah, I reckon go for it.
Which makes the Isuzu, because I went over to Fraser Island. I go to Fraser Island a little bit, and it's only here. So we had an opposing car a few years ago, and I've never been stuck over there, over Fraser Island with Isuzu. So this opposing car was stuck, and here we are in the middle of Fraser Island with one of those big buses coming down. So we had to get out, and we were stuck. So the bus goes, look, we'll just get all the German backpackers out of the bus to push the car out, and then we're ready to go. So, of course, as you know what the German backpackers are, we're a lot, just a bikini top and some shorts. And the bus driver's gone, okay, now you've got to jump up and down and try and make the car bounce out. So we had 8 German backpackers all around the car jumping up and down with only bikini tops on, trying to get our car out.
Name and shame. What was the opposition? The brand. What was the brand?
No, I won't.
Best for contracts to not
double. Yeah. We've had a lot of fun in the Isuzu and the MUX, so they're good quality cars.
Well, Ben, I hope that helps you with your father-in-law troubles. You obviously disguised that as a question for yourself.
It was myself who asked that question. He intimidates me, and he has a big Isuzu, so I want it to be relevant.
Yeah, you've got to. they go anywhere. I've been down a barrel with Plugger and all that lives, like over to Flinders Ranges. Like they just keep going. I love it.
So just before we let you go, Spider, myself and Ben have both put our balls on the line with a big call for 2020. Something that we think might happen a little bit out of the ordinary in the AFL this year. What's your big call of 2020 for the AFL world?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be ballsy to say Richmond could go probably 3 in a row, but let me have a look. I still think, you know what, it's going to be interesting. I don't reckon Brisbane will make the 8.
Wee.
Oh, I love that. I've been death riding Brisbane for
Sipping
a while
your
now.
Blues.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting year for them. So, I know Hodgie is departed, and he was a very good vocal point there. So, it'll be interesting to see how they go. And they kind of got a lot of people off guard last year. So, we saw what happened with Melbourne when they were promised, pretty much thought they were going to absolutely walk into a final series last year. Really struggled. It'll be interesting, and I'm thinking Brisbane might do pretty similar.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
A
Q like clash this year might be interesting.
Well, I mean, the Suns played beautifully the other night. I mean, I know it's only pre-season, but surely the people of the Gold Coast would have been really happy with what they saw in their Marsh Series game against the Cats.
Oh, 100%. I think, as you said, all you can do is beat the opposition that's out there. You got the Cats, and they didn't have a crap side. They had a few quality players out there. So, yeah, and to win by that much and look consistent. And the different thing about the Gold Coast Suns, and a lot of people who don't live on the Gold Coast realise, you can see the different vibe around the place, even with the women's footy and now the men's footy, and the whole vibe around the place is totally different to what it was 2-3 years ago. So even out in the community, the way they're treated and the media they do, they've really started to embrace the Gold Coast under Stuart Hughes. So hopefully that's starting to show through, and I think it did on the weekend. I thought it was great in the first March match.
Do you get you don't happen to get 10% off when people drop your name when they're getting a Gold Coast membership for the year? Sounds very...
No, I know. I should be, but it cost me a fortune because I'm going to buy them as well. So I'm going to buy St Kilda, I buy Hawthorne, Sydney, and now the Suns. So I'm members everywhere. And I'm an AFL Life member anyway, so I actually don't need any of them.
Fantastic. Well, Spider, thank you very much for joining us on the Magoos. Hope you enjoy a big 2020 of footy and being the mayor of the Gold Coast up there. You're obviously running that town. So thanks very much for... How do you guys find out
I'm running for the mayor?
We have our sources.
Two and two together.
Yeah.
Well, March 28th, if you're up here, make sure you vote. Peter Everett.
Whoa, really?
There you go. We have to. That was just a little bit of ad lib, but there you go. Why not? We'll throw all our 15 followers on Instagram.
In our third season, we finally got a scoop.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I will be, and it's going to be in by the end of the week. So I'm going to look forward to it. Take on Big Tommy Tate.
Oh, awesome.
I reckon you've got him covered.
Yeah.
Bloody beautiful.
We'll wait and see.
All right, Spider. Thank you very, very much for joining us on the Magoos.
Anytime. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Scoop, man, scoop. You were just joking. Jake, and people who are listening to this podcast are like, hang on, that's not Jake's voice on an intro / outro.
Yeah, Ben's taken
over. I thought I'm just going to hijack, just see how it goes.
Feeling pretty good after the Spider interview. He had a couple of good questions in there.
Cheeky smirk over there. It was a good interview. I had a good feeling.
He was great.
He was a big man. He was fantastic.
I reckon that it might not be the last time we hear a Spider on the Magoos this year.
I am just so pumped that we got a scoop on it.
The mayor.
He's going to run for mayor of the Gold Coast.
And that was just a bit of an ad-lib throwaway line.
Unbelievable.
And I've uncovered one of the great secrets of the Gold Coast.
Unbelievable. You reckon Kappa's going to be his running man?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say he could do worse. You probably couldn't.
No.
Maybe we'll have to put in a call to Warwick Kappa, see if he wants to...
Yeah, run with him. Mm. Oh, we could start like a political sort of...
Well, I mean, if there are any listeners of the Magoos that are up in the Gold Coast, I think you'd be crazy not to vote for our man Spider. He's now a part of the Magoos family, so make sure you get around him. In all seriousness, we obviously are a huge thanks to Spider for coming on, making our first show of 2020 as big as it has been. Thanks to all the Magoos listeners out there who are back on for 2020. We've got some really cool, exciting things planned, so keep your eye out on all the socials. And as always, make sure you like, share, subscribe on all your podcast apps, all your social medias. We really appreciate the support. We can't wait to get stuck into 2020.
We should read a review of the week, I reckon, Jake.
Yeah, we could do that.
That would be fan engagement. People say you need to do more fan engagement.
Some stubby holders.
Stubby holders? Yeah. Yeah, we get some Magoo stuff made up.
Yeah.
Merchandise. I see other podcasts doing it. What's not to say we can't do that?
I reckon that's where the future lies.
Merchandise. Everyone's just wearing merch.
Yep.
Magoo's top. And I was added
out. Handing them out to people at St. Vinny's and stuff like that.
Hey, that is publicity still.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you make good quality material, people will continue to wear it.
Absolutely true, Ben.
Yeah. I'll wear it. Will you wear it?
Yes.
I'll wear it every day. Actually, speaking of wearing, just before we sign off, I didn't actually tell you this.
You
might have seen it on my socials. I got a little bit of a run on a story, so it didn't actually get a full upload. But I have decided this year that I already mentioned about the Guardians of the Red Sash that I've joined. I've decided I'm going all out enough this year. I've purchased an Essendon Hawaiian shirt.
I did see the shirt. Yeah.
And it's magical.
Is it true that your lovely girlfriend banned you from wearing it to dinner?
Yeah, she did.
So she should too.
But that's what makes it better. But it unironically looks all right. It's got random parakeets on it and Essendon symbols. It's beautifully horrible.
Hauntingly beautiful.
Yeah, haunting. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. But I did my own one. Hey. That's what we do. We do our own stuff here on the Magoos.
We do.
That's why you love us.
And again, we appreciate you listening. We'll be back really, really soon. Remember to share, tell your friends about how good the Magoos is and is going to be in 2020.
Woo!
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.